Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Junks. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to CropMetcalf.com. Join their team today. Robert Griffin III will join us coming up at 8:45 today. We'll talk about the loss to the Titans. Look forward to the game against the Bears, which is in, 2 days.
By the way,
Thursday night football. Exactly.
I know we're going to talk about the roughing. We put up the poll of the day. Will Ron Rivera be fired? 61% right now say yes. And I'm telling you, this is just, it's a recent vibe. They play on Thursday. All right. If they get embarrassed on national TV, and it's unlikely because it's the Bears, but if they get embarrassed and they drop to 1-5 on the heels of Matt Rhule being fired, I could see him being fired on a Friday. Gives you plenty of time to ramp up with an interim coach for the next game.
I'm just going
to
say it's...
But that's just scapegoating. Like, there's not a solution midseason.
No. I'm going to say it's physically impossible for them to get embarrassed by the Bears because you have two teams that score right around 18 points per game. I think the Commanders are at 18. The Bears are like at 17.2.
Right.
Now, if the Bears somehow erupt on offense and score 35, and
that's impossible.
I just don't think that's possible.
That is impossible.
I don't think it's possible for that to happen.
No, I don't think they're going to get embarrassed. Could they lose? Certainly.
But
I don't think that they'll fire him after this loss if they lose to Chicago. If they lose 3 or 4 in a row after this and they're 1-8, 1-9, that's a different story.
Yeah, because correct me if I'm wrong, what was Rhule's record?
Total?
Total.
11-27, I believe.
Yeah, so his record trounces here.
Yeah.
Trounces Rhule. I mean, Rhule was spectacularly bad.
He had some sort of horrendous stat, too, where, like, if the other team scored...
I don't think it trounces it.
Well, I mean, what was it, like 7-9 or 7-10 the first 2 years?
I thought I saw like a two-game separation.
Yeah. Is that all? Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought when I saw a little comparison, somebody even tweeted us earlier, it was like Ron had two more regular season wins.
Okay, then I'm wrong. But my instinct is that Rhule was demonstrably worse.
Getting to Rhule.
7-9, correct?
7-9, 7-10, I guess.
Okay, and now 1-4.
If you scored
15 wins, so he's got four more wins.
If you score 17 points against a Matt Rhule-led Carolina Panthers team, you were going to win the game. I think he was 0-for for his tenure in Charlotte when the other team scored 17. I mean, that's not even a high bar, 17 points. That's what the Bears are scoring
on a weekly basis. What's the common factor, though, between Rhule getting fired and Ron struggling?
You're
terrible
trying to
quarterbacks.
Say
for the majority of his tenure here, yeah. He's gone through 9 quarterbacks. He's on his 9th quarterback here.
No, I mean,
obviously, Rhule had Bridgewater, and he had Darnold, and then he had
P.J.
Walker for a couple starts. Now, obviously, Baker, and he'll be out. Now he's back to P.J. Walker. I mean, he's had no quarterback.
That's true. If he had Aaron Rodgers, he'd still be there. But most people don't have Aaron Rodgers. Most people have Jared Goff, Carson Wentz.
Yep. Middling quarterback.
You know, Teddy Bridgewater.
Most coaches are just grasping. You're just grasping at
but
the quarterback not
win
to
with
make
those
mistakes.
Guys. They took Jared Goff, quarterback the team that went to the Super Bowl. They didn't win it. Trent Dilfer won one. So you can win.
Back.
I know, but you can. Listen, the easiest road to success and having a fistful of rings is having Tom Brady.
Of course.
Most people, Patrick Mahomes. Right. Most people don't have that, though. So you have to build around, and you need to compliment them.
It's easy. All you have to do is go out and find the next Josh Allen. That's all you have to do.
There are like six of them
won one.
On the planet. Six currently.
Yep, I agree.
It's, you know, it's really hard. Everybody else has to work with what they've got.
And we just had John Allen on the show, and he said, as a defensive lineman, you basically have to throw two pillows down for a quarterback. It's becoming a debacle in the NFL because these are game-changing, game-altering plays. The Falcons were certainly not guaranteed to win, but the Falcons were down 21-0. They closed it to 21-15 in the fourth quarter. They decided to go for a two-point conversion earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if they score, they're going to win the game with an extra point. They just need to get the ball back.
Correct.
And it looks like they're going to get the ball back because it's third down. Tom Brady drops back to pass.
Sacked.
Grady Jarrett sacks.
They're going to punt.
It's not even like a ragdoll situation. Sacks on him. Sacks him. Mm-hmm. Doesn't land on him.
Nope.
And then a flag comes out. Alters the game. Falcons never
Arthur
chance.
Smith couldn't believe it.
I mean, if the Falcons never even have a chance. It's not guaranteed that they would win the game. They did have some offensive momentum.
That
going.
Was a gift.
You would have had to
is
put,
what that was.
I would be in a straitjacket if I were Arthur Smith on the sideline.
And
I
last mean, night
he couldn't believe it.
last night, you? Chris Jones sacks Derek Carr, sacks him, actually strips the ball during the sack.
Great play.
Kind of lands on him, but he's not a pile drive situation because he actually puts his he has the ball in one hand, mm-hmm. and the other hand, he's bracing for the fall. So his full body weight is not on Derek Carr. And again, he has the ball.
I don't know. Can we blame the referees as much as we can blame the league?
No, you have to blame the league first
because
and foremost.
With the language in that rule, they may be making the right call.
They're calling it by the letter of the law. The problem is the law stinks, and it needs to be revised immediately.
If they're looking at that player as defenseless, and he's in the grasp of a defensive player, and that defensive player kind of drives him to the ground. Now, I realize it didn't happen in these two instances, so I'm just saying the rule, the letter of the law and the rule could be wrong. But if they're looking at that and going, well, all his weight came down on that quarterback who's considered defenseless, they're probably making the right call. But the rule's bad.
It's so bad. It's bad.
The rule
to the
is really bad.
Yeah,
like
but
the defensive lineman has nowhere to go once
he
forces his body onto the quarterback. Like, I guess he could try to turn in midair and not land on the quarterback, but he doesn't have full control over that at that point.
Yep.
Like, it's a dumb rule.
They are overprotecting them.
Immediately.
Last night on Monday Night Countdown, they had the director, I don't know what his title was, but the director of officiating, and they were going back and forth with Alex Smith and with McFarland. And Steve Young.
Yeah.
And they were talking about it. And, you know, the old school guys just don't agree with it. I don't know how the new school quarterbacks feel about it, but the rule is just bad.
Now,
it's
just
overprotective.
If you grab a quarterback and you've stopped his forward momentum and then you ragdoll him violently to the turf, throw all the flags you want. But this is just a standard
Correct.
NFL sack that we're talking about. These are standard sacks.
It's a tackle.
And they're being penalized.
It's a
tackled the quarterback.
Right. Yeah, apparently you can't do that in 2022.
John Allen made a great point. He's like, you're not supposed to hit below the knees. You're not supposed to hit like above the shoulders.
It's a small little area.
You can't throw
them. And you're doing all of it.
You can't land
on them.
You're
doing it in a split second with all these bodies around you moving in different directions. I mean, they're asking these defensive linemen to be miracle workers. They can't do it. It's impossible.
And they're going to continue to get flagged.
It's an impossible ask.
They're going to continue to call that.
All right, do we want to get into what Aikman said? And he's getting some criticism for his observation and maybe his lack of eloquence.
Yeah. I mean, do we have the audio?
I think so.
Is he getting criticism? I really haven't seen the criticism.
Oh, there's been some criticism.
Been called a misogynist.
Oh, jeez. These people.
I mean, I don't think he's trying to be a misogynist. I think he's just trying to, you know.
He's just being an old school football guy.
He's been an old school football guy for
sure. That's what he's doing.
But wait, so he said he'll find the clip. You have the clip. Here you go.
Play again. The ball comes out right there. And the ball is possessed by Jones. He's going to the ground with Carr. His body's there. It's just where it is.
It is too much. I mean, my hope is the competition committee looks at this in the next set of meetings and, you know, we take the dresses off.
Now, that's an old school comment.
It's just a cliche.
It's a cliche. He doesn't mean women are soft or anything. He doesn't mean that women can't be tough. He's probably just saying if someone has a dress on, you don't hit a person with a dress. You know what I mean? You'd be respectful.
Yeah,
it's just an old school phrase.
It's an old school saying.
I hear that in golf when people come up with a 3-footer and they're short on their putt.
Oh, it's way what people say in golf. Right. If you leave a putt short,
pull
way,
up your blank.
Way worse than what, right. what Troy Aikman said. Now, he just said it to me 100 times on a golf course. And it's very hurtful right. every time.
I had
every single time.
I had a really good friend of mine.
Did your husband play?
Yeah. See?
Can
see
you imagine?
See what I'm being subjected
That's
to?
That's not bad. That's not too bad.
Can you imagine how many times we would be fired now if we said some of the things that we did in 2004?
Of, yeah.
1999, 2001?
Part of the reason for our longevity, beyond the unreal talent, has been our ability to adapt.
Yes, to dodge FCC
many
fines.
Many people can't adapt.
Yeah.
We had a stripper pole in studio.
You know, we're not.
It's great.
We're not great
for the time.
No, we're not. Sure. We're not dinosaurs like Ron Rivera. Not dinosaurs in this room.
We're adaptable. No, I learned a valuable lesson personally when I was 23 years old, something like that. And I worked with a woman who became a good friend of mine. And I made what I thought was an innocent comment.
Uh-oh.
I said that someone threw like a girl.
Okay.
And she was lit.
Yeah.
Insinuating that girls can't throw. And obviously girls can throw.
Sure.
There are millions of girls that throw great, right? I mean,
they throw better than guys.
Right. They're professional women throw. Okay, I understand that. I didn't mean it. Sorry. But she learned me. She taught me, Cakes.
You were young.
I was young.
You're relatively young.
And I've tried to learn that.
Sure.
I didn't mean any harm by it.
Now you just say throws like cakes.
Yes, they throw like cakes.
How dare you? There's so much shrapnel on getting this segment. And I can throw a spiral. I can throw a silly, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Not very long, but I can throw a nice, tight spiral.
Right.
Cakes is like Tua. He's very accurate from 4 to 8 yards.
Yeah. Like Tua.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you can't say anything these days. You just can't say anything.
No, no. We all know that, though.
And you can't hit a quarterback, apparently.
No.
You can't hit the quarterback.
Well, they're going to ruin the whole
thing. Wasn't Carson Wentz sacked 9 times in a game?
Yeah, I didn't see a bunch of flags being thrown around.
Those guys that excuse Carson Wentz, it's fine.
Although, I will say, I said this last year, and it's part of the reason why I feel like the product is declining, is the referees have an enormous amount of power.
Yeah, and too much power.
So much power that they change the game on a whim,
yeah,
on a
ask,
flag.
Go ask Tim Donaghy. They, a lot of power.
I mean, you're able to stop momentum, give teams momentum. I mean, every game there is a questionable call that really affects the outcome.
But I can tell you this, when those rich guys meet in a room at the Breakers or wherever it is during the league meetings, and people look at them and say, you're going to have money flying out of your pockets if you don't change this rule, because people are going to disrespect it as real football, they're going to change their minds.
They're going to come
to their senses.
But also, I feel like it's not that I feel bad for the NFL, but I feel like the NFL is reacting to all of the cakes out there that want this. That want this offensive back and forth,
right.
And it's a reaction to keeping these quarterbacks upright.
You act like I'm the only person on the planet.
I'm just saying, you're out of everyone.
Football.
Out of everyone on the show, you're the most vociferous about how every team, there can't be any defense. Don't draft a defensive player. Every game needs to be 45-40.
That's part of it.
Well,
but the biggest thing
is CTE. It's CTE.
That's the biggest thing.
They're protecting the players.
CTE and Tua.
They're protecting their reputation. They don't really care about the players.
I think they're also worried about being sued.
Yes.
Like they're being straight up, like a lot of people have advocated, including the guy that we had on the show, that Tua has a lawsuit against the NFL.
That's not why. They don't want backup quarterbacks playing games. They want the stars out there.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing it.
They want
Tyler
Thompson or Skyler, whatever, Skyler. Who the hell knows, out there playing quarterback for the Dolphins.
Right.
That's why they're doing it.
Well, yeah, but they're trying to protect the quarterbacks.
They're also worried about the backlash, the Tua backlash.
And they don't care about the tight ends. I get that. But they're trying to protect the quarterbacks.
I think Drab brings up a great point. But I also think the CTE is a big factor.
It's a huge factor because the leagues they're paying a lot more money to those players after retirement than they did 30 years ago.
What does CTE have to do with hitting a quarterback at the knees? It's nothing. They don't.
Well, I mean, CTE, it does.
Just the hard tackling
with the below the knee stuff. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right. They don't want it. They don't want to tear guys' ACLs. You're right. But above the shoulders,
the slamming the guys to the ground. That's all to protect
their
heads.
That's all CTE stuff. Yeah,
we need an overcorrection. And we need it 5 minutes ago.
This is the most Cakes has talked about defense in the last 4 years.
Well, it's about the only time I'll ever
talk
about defense.
He still likes big hits. Oh, Who doesn't like big hits?
By the way, if I were consulting Ron in the draft room a few years ago, when he said, well, I think we're going to take Chase Young at two, I said, no, you're going to take a quarterback, even though you have Haskins sitting on the bench, because he can't play.
All right,
disrespect him.
Let's go to Todd in Richmond. Hey, Todd, you're on with the Junkies.
Hey, good morning, Junkies. Thanks for taking my call. Yep. I really enjoy your show. I listen every morning.
Thank you, man. We need more of you.
Yeah, right on. So, I by the letter of the law, I agree that it was the correct call. But I think the problem is not really with
which one
the rule. The rule is being
which call? Which call?
I'm sorry. The one where
the Chiefs game or Brady.
Last night's call, okay. The first one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think, the referees don't have the same views that we as fans do. You know, they don't have as many referees as we have cameras.
Of course.
So I think if that play was reviewable, then they would have had the opportunity to see that the defender was trying to secure the ball. And in addition, he was trying to put his free hand down to the best of his ability. You got to think he's
totally agree.
300 pounds.
I think we've all said that. It should be reviewable. They got. It should be reviewed.
Maybe that's something that'll come into play during the next league meetings.
Well, then you're going to have to review every personal foul.
Maybe. Okay.
And that would take forever.
If it's questionable. I mean, they review every touchdown, Jason.
Yeah, I know, but they review every
touchdown.
But there's a lot of flags during a game. I don't know. I don't know if they would go that far. Maybe just for that particular play on quarterbacks, that could be reviewable. But I don't think they're going to review all personal fouls.
Would they really review every touchdown? There's the way they reviewed, like, Davante Adams clearly called it.
It might take a second.
Every scoring play.
Every scoring play.
All right, we'll continue to take your calls on the MGM National Harbor. Listener lines, 800-636-1067. Another night of NFL football. Another bad roughing the passer call. What do you do about it going forward?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at
at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Don't forget RG3 scheduled to join us coming up at 8:45. So you don't want to miss that.
Did you watch him tossing the football yesterday?
Yes.
I did not.
It's actually a pretty good interview. They had Davante Adams, and it wasn't just RG3 tossing the football. It was RG3, Steve Young,
Alex Smith.
I don't think Alex Smith was there. I think it was just RG3.
I thought it was all the quarterbacks.
RG3 was kind of tossing it to Steve Young. About 15 yards away.
They go back and forth.
And Steve Young would zip it back to Davante Adams, and then they were just, you know, doing a little interview about why he chose to go to the Raiders.
Well, we know why.
Yeah, why he chose to go to the Raiders.
Did money ever come up?
Please. That's the most laughable thing I've ever heard. He probably wasn't laughing, though, at the end of the game when he was leaving the field and he shoved the cameraman down and now could be facing, you know, a league fine and or suspension going forward.
Oh, really?
Potentially.
I did see the replay of it. It was one of those guys who was holding one of those big mics.
Boom mic.
Yeah, like a parabolic mic. Yeah. I'm not sure what the name of it is.
And he was correct me. And he had it, and Devontae's walking into the tunnel, and he's got it right in front of him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if Devontae was talking, but he was trying to get, obviously, some audio. Mm-hmm. And he just pushed him down.
Right, just knocked him right down.
He was salty.
He was super salty.
That's such a douchebag.
That is. I mean,
oh, it's a big time douchebag.
I mean, it's as bad as it gets.
I mean, you can't just sidestep the guy. Okay, maybe he's in your way.
That's how bitter he was.
You can't just disrespect a human.
Like, if somebody gets in my way in the hallway, you're like, I was on my way to the bathroom, and Karina was coming down the hallway, and we did the awkward, like, two-step. Like, I stepped in her way, and she stepped in my way.
Right.
I didn't push her down.
Right.
Okay.
It's even worse than that.
I let her walk by.
It would be like if you yell, you and Valdez are yelling at each other, and then you just push Karina.
Right. Exactly. I was upset because Valdez is stream shaming me in the bathroom and joning on me in the prior segment.
Right.
And then I take out my frustrations on an innocent bystander.
Exactly.
Doesn't make any sense.
All right. If people still want to chime in on the reffing deal, let's go to Anthony real quick. In Ashburn, you can chime in, 800-636-1067. Where are we, by the way, also on the Ron poll? I'm just curious.
Last I checked, it was 61% that he will be fired this year.
I know, but I want, not last you checked, I want right now. All right,
I know,
Anthony.
There's a lot of votes. It's not going to move that much.
Anthony, what's up, buddy? You're all with the Junks.
62%.
Hey
guys, how y'all doing?
Hello, Anthony.
Hey. All right, I just think if they want to make rules like this, which I think in the long term will be better for the players, but you need to start acting like hockey. You need to have a referee that's up in the booth that can take over the game, or look at a play and be like, well, I see why they called it, but I'm going to overrule it. Or
for make, all you gotta play plays?
Out of bounds. Why not? It's a huge league with tons of money. Why not? Yeah. Why not have somebody
else? The only answer is you don't want to lengthen a game by 30 minutes.
Yeah, you definitely don't want that.
Do NHL games get lengthened by the person up in the booth that makes the decisions?
I have no idea.
Don't know.
Well, look, in college football, they do review targeting. So, you know, if there's a targeting play, they flag it. and then they review it to see if it was intentional, blah, 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 and then he's kicked out of the game. But they also can pick the flag up. Mm-hmm. So they do review that call.
Well, look, in the NFL, they do review calls. They review all scoring plays.
Sure, sure.
It's just a matter of which ones, you know, they review possession things if you challenge.
They just don't review flags.
But certain, like holdings, they don't review, you know, or like...
Pass interference. They don't...
I thought at one period they did review pass interference. They did, right? Did they take that away then?
I remember you could challenge it as a challenge.
And then they took it away because it was too much.
That away,
They thought it was just too much interfering in the game.
To the Rams-Saints game. Right. They did it for the following year, and it wasn't successful, so they did it.
I think you're going to see this offseason, they're going to take the gloves off somewhat for defensive players going after quarterbacks.
They might.
Because
they're going to bring it back.
Otherwise,
bring back old school.
It's turning into flag football. Like, you just can't touch the quarterback.
Did you mention what Micah Parsons tweeted?
I can't remember what
did
he
you
tweeted.
Mention that he tweeted last night. Oh my God, the NFL. He tweeted this: the NFL defensive player MVP of the season potentially. Yeah. The NFL's terrible. We should just play 7-on-7.
He's got a point. I mean, look, his livelihood is chasing down and assaulting quarterbacks and offensive players. And if the league is going to legislate against him and other defensive players, I don't have a problem with him speaking up, making his voice heard.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but that will be a huge topic in the offseason.
The fact that they still, though, allow certain cutback blocks, and I'm not even quite sure which ones are allowed. Like, you got to be in the hash or out of the hash. Or I'm far from an expert. But the fact that they let any of those, like, that's something I have no problem with outlawing.
Right. If you want to legislate that out, sure. Please do. But you can't. Like, if you're going to let guys sack the quarterback, let them sack the quarterback.
Yeah,
as long as it's not super violent and excessively out of control, violent towards the quarterback, you have to let the game return to what it was before.
You got
to
let him finish his tackle.
And I understand that there are health concerns and CTE concerns. And, you know, you want Josh Allen playing in games. You want Patrick Mahomes playing in games. You don't want to see backups every single week because of injury. But you have to let defensive players be able to try to go after the quarterback.
Just think about the injuries so far in the NFL through 5 weeks. Jets, now that started in the preseason, right? But Jets, Dolphins, Patriots.
So basically a whole AFC East outside of Josh Allen.
Yep.
I saw somebody tweeting yesterday, somebody that we've had on the show, I can't remember right now, that's an NFL insider, speculating that Bailey Zappi may supplant Mac Jones as their number one.
Who said that?
I'm going to have to go look.
I mean,
it's somebody that we've had on the show. Yeah, it's
one person's opinion.
Well, people are saying that about Cooper Rush, though. I mean, people just say stuff.
No. It's like one of those guys that looks at film.
I was thinking about Mac Jones as I was driving in this morning, is that even Bill Belichick has a hard time picking quarterbacks. Like, it's so hard. There aren't that many.
He made the choice of going away from Tom Brady, which you probably don't want to do in hindsight. If he could go back and change that,
he was doing that. I know. I wouldn't have done that, but he was making that sort of, all right, you reach a certain age threshold, I'm moving on. Mm-hmm. He's made a career out of it. He's done it with linebackers, receivers. Mm-hmm. So I understand where he was coming from, but I personally would let Tom decide when he wants to leave.
If you got Bill Belichick out on his boat, out on the Chesapeake Bay, and get a few beers in him, he would tell you. You'd rather have Tom Brady than Zappi, Hoyer, Mac Jones, guys of that ilk.
That's, I think, also where ego comes into play.
Certainly.
You know, no doubt about it. But look, man, Drabby's right. They're trying to protect these guys because it's so hard. Otherwise, you end up, I was watching, you know, my man Joe P, he was watching the Dolphins, and when he told me who was playing quarterback, I couldn't understand it. And he was sitting there just watching it crestfallen because apparently, I don't know, I didn't see the play, but Teddy wanted to come back in, but they wouldn't let him come back.
Nope. They said, you can't go back out on the field.
Yeah, it didn't look that bad when he hit the ground.
Yeah, but maybe something happened. Did he stumble like Tua stumbled? Something apparently happened.
He stumbled a little bit in the end zone, but he seemed fine.
I didn't notice him stumbling.
But it didn't look like a concussed stumble. It looked like...
I just
got hit pretty hard, and I need to gather myself here.
Yeah, but
and then he appeared to be fine.
And was it not the first play of the game?
It was
his first snap?
I think it was his first play.
It was definitely early in the game.
Yeah,
I've watched it many times. He didn't stumble. He was just slow to get up, taking a second to gather himself.
And
you got some spotter who the hell knows what he, you know, what his job is, who he's like, what's
his motive
of the game, who he's rooting for.
Right.
I mean, there's no video evidence of Teddy stumbling. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You almost get a sense that the league said, all right, first guy stumbles, get him out.
Yeah. If it looks anywhere borderline,
we don't care who it is.
Yeah. It's bad optics for the Shield.
Yeah. But you got to imagine, especially with that team, they're really watching.
Oh, yeah.
It's an overreaction to a doctor making a mistake. But in no reason should a spotter, who even knows where he's located, have more of an opinion on who can return to a game than the doctors in the stadium. It's
can
goofy.
I take
it doesn't even make sense.
Can I take an unpopular opinion and just talk out loud and not cancel me and fire me? I have always struggled with Tua looked like he was concussed the way he stumbled, right? Obvious to all of us. But the independent exam, I kind of buy a little bit of what the NFL was selling. The independent doctor cleared him. He passed all the tests during the week. They cleared him. Is it possible that he didn't have a concussion? That he did have he was knocked out or whatever for a second. But it's... Are we 100% certain that he did have a concussion that first time?
I'm sure there's many levels to that word.
Right, but an independent guy passed him. He passed all the tests on the field. And then he passed all the tests during the week.
I understand.
Either assuming they were real tests and they're not faking it and they're not saying, hey,
I doubt they were, but okay.
Right. So I, in some sense, I feel a little sympathy to the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Are you allowed to say that? Or you're not allowed to say it. Or should I just go ahead, hand in my papers, and resign?
I think you're fine.
No, based on what the doctors did to examine him, they felt like he was okay.
Right,
that he could come back in the game.
So
yes.
I would,
turned out to be the wrong decision.
I know Mike McDaniel took a lot of heat too. It's like third game coaching or whatever, and you're like, hey, and he's like, well, I'm just trusting the doctors. Hell, the whole world trusted the doctors recently. Yeah.
The question is what. What connection, if there is any connection, was there to that play when he hit his head in the Buffalo game and to
exactly
the next play?
Exactly. We don't know.
We just don't know.
We don't know because he passed all
been,
the tests.
It could have been two independent plays.
McDaniel said he's screaming and hollering, hooting and hollering, no headaches. You know what I mean? We're just assuming it was a concussion because it damn sure looked like one. But what do you do when you pass all the tests?
Yeah, but the test which they missed, which I bought into, I think his name was Nowitzki, that ex-wrestler that came on our show, mm-hmm. when he actually broke it down that he didn't have his balance at first, that he went to his head. Mm-hmm. He didn't go to his back.
Mm-hmm. Right? I understand. No, he was rocked.
Like, that stuff there tells you probably he was concussed.
No, I don't think that's part of the test. But does that mean it was a concussion?
But the question is, let's just say concussion level one to level 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's definitely levels.
Right. So if he was at level one, why can't he come back in?
If he passes all the tests.
I don't know the data on then the likelihood
they don't
of another
really
concussion.
Right, because it's not exact. Everyone's
just kind of guessing.
I mean, obviously guys used to do that all the time.
Correct.
They get concussed. They went back in the game.
Right. They don't. It probably happens now.
I think it's gray. I just think it's a gray area. I don't know. And they're trying to protect a player. Great. But then you end up with what was the donk's name again?
Chris Jones yesterday.
No, the Dolphins.
Skylar Thompson.
Sure, he's amazing.
Sounds like a porn star.
Yeah. Right.
But he might be playing this week against Minnesota.
I know he's not a football star because he's a third stringer.
Correct.
And as soon as he was in the game, you knew the Dolphins were doomed. They were doomed to lose.
And if he plays against Minnesota Sunday, they might be doomed again. And then you're
probably
looking
right
at 3-3, where they were 3-0.
All right, coming up next, you don't want to miss it. Robert Griffin III joins us, as he does all throughout the NFL season. Next, here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Time now to head out to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We welcome in Robert Griffin III. He joins us every single week during the NFL season. What's up, Robert? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. And we need to play that song for Carson Wentz because there's definitely some weapons formed against him by the name of Ron Rivera. I know you guys have been getting after it probably all day, but holy smokes.
Yeah, what was your initial reaction? I mean, that's the first thing we wanted to ask you about. Being a guy who's been in the league, I don't know how many, 8, 9 years, whatever the hell it was for you, Robert, and to have a coach go out there and kind of call you out, especially when you made a whole point of offseason of telling everybody in the world that Carson Wentz was loved and wanted here. 5 games in, it's changed a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it's unbelievable that he did that for all the reasons that you already mentioned, but also because that's just not what good coaches do.
Right.
When they ask you what's the difference between the rest of the teams in the division and you, because the rest of the teams in the division have, you know, winning records and are doing well, the answer is coaching. Right? Mm-hmm. You take responsibility for that. As a coach, it's your job to take responsibility for your players' failures.
Right.
And not take responsibility for their successes. I mean, that's just the mark of good coaching. And the fact that he did that didn't just drive the bus over him. Then he doubled down on it, you know, backed the bus back over him, and then came out and said, oh, I didn't mean it that way. Well, it sounded that way. He said, hey, what's the difference, quarterback? Okay, Carson Wentz, let's put it this way. If he had said this 2 weeks ago, everybody probably would have been on board because Carson didn't play very well. But in this last game, Carson went out and threw for 359 yards and 2 touchdowns. He just had a terrible interception at the end of the game.
Right.
He played much better. But it's not about defending necessarily Carson Wentz. It's about understanding that Ron Rivera, I think, hasn't won a playoff game since 2015. So why are you out there throwing your guy under the bus? How's that going to help him in the locker room the following day? And we all know I'm a guy that's been thrown under the bus in the media by a coach before, but it has nothing to do with that for me. It's just I had an opportunity to experience great coaching with John Harbaugh, and he would have never done something like that to Lamar Jackson.
So, Robert, if you were Carson, how do you handle it internally with Coach Rivera? Do you go up and address it with him privately, like in his office, or do you just let it kind of slide off your back and just continue business as usual? How would you handle
it? Say Carson tunes out all of that stuff. Who knows if that's true?
Yeah, I mean, if you're Carson, the only thing you can do is let it be water off the duck's back. You got to keep moving forward. And he's had an up and down season. Listen, we've all, you know, you've seen the stock up, stock downs on Twitter from me because he makes throws that only a couple guys can make, right? Like 5 guys in the league can make some of the throws that Carson's making. And then he also makes throws that about, you know, everybody sitting on the couch can probably make. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just like Carson has to approach this as, listen, I just got to go out and get better. My coach just threw me under the bus, you know, ran over me a couple times, but there's nothing he can do. Him going to Ron Rivera's office isn't going to change what already happened and what transpired. And, you know, I know that Ron said that it was a mistake or how it was interpreted, but it just was a bad look. And, you know, just another bad look for a franchise that's been struggling over the past few years to really get things changed and then going in the right direction.
We're talking to RG3, now an analyst on ESPN, of course, former Redskins quarterback. All right, let me get the quarterback's perspective on that last play, that interception. So it looked like there was a bunch set on the right, three receivers on the right, and he opts to throw the pass to J.D. McKissic. What are you seeing there pre-read or pre-snap, your read? And it looked like the defense was dropping back seven or eight.
Yeah, what it looked like to me was Carson pre-snap knew where he wanted to go with the ball. And post-snap, he actually saw the guy who caught the interception jam the inside receiver. So normally when you see that as a quarterback, in your brain you're like, okay, that guy's gone. I should have a wide-open throw right behind him. But I think he got tunnel vision on that play because, yeah, he jammed the inside receiver, but then he fell off and went to the outside pass catcher and was right there. So I don't think he ever saw him once the ball left his hand. I think he said, I know he said that he thought he had 6 points when it left his hand. And that's just, I've had something like that almost happen to me against Tampa Bay my rookie year. Rondé Barber was really good at doing that. He would always jam the inside receiver and then fall off on the outside slant. When that happened, I was just able to beat him with arm strength and speed of the ball. But in that situation, Carson just has to understand that things happen faster in the red zone. The play that I'm talking about and describing happened out in the open field, and we were able to get a first down on like 3rd and 12 on a line concept, which is double slants by the two outside receivers. I mean, the inside receiver and the outside receiver. So
I think Robert, it should also be said though that I don't even remember who the guy is that made the play. I thought he made a hell of a play. He made a diving interception. I mean, that was a freaking great play by him too.
Yeah, it was a great play, but you know. I am on here, you know, saying that Ron Rivera should have said coaching instead of quarterback, and Carson should have thrown that ball.
Yep.
The guy did not need to dive to catch that pick.
Yeah.
He probably just died because he plays defense and they're not great at catching the ball. He wanted to make sure he caught the ball.
Should he know pre-read or pre-snap that he should be going to the other side?
No. I don't think it was this wasn't like a Russell Wilson type of deal, where Russell should have worked the upside, you know, man-on-man concept instead of working the zone concept. I think Carson picked the right side. I just think he made the wrong throw. Once that guy jams and falls off, you got to move on in your progression. He had time to do it. Not like he was getting sacked as he was making that throw. I just think he misread it.
All right. So, okay, we can agree. Let's say Carson misread it. Bad throw. What about the first two plays, knowing that there's there, first and goal, 19 seconds, no timeouts? If you're Scott Turner, you're RG Turner, all right? You're the OC. How do you call it? He's not Carson RG3. He's Carson Wentz, so he's athletic, but he's not as athletic as you. How do you call those three plays?
Yeah, 19 seconds. That gives you enough time to at least run the ball once.
I mean, how much time would be left? If you run it once, you get stuffed, and you spike it, how much time is left on average?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't an open field play, but on average, you'll probably have 8 seconds left in the game if you run the ball.
Right.
If this is open in the open field and it's like, all right, you know, maybe I could break one or there's guys running down the field, you know, you're on like the 1 or 2 yard line. It doesn't take long to get up and get the ball spiked if you try to run the ball at least one time. One, first of all, you've got two pretty dang good running backs that can get it done, although they weren't able to run the ball very well and effectively.
Yeah, you got to keep that in mind.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, in this game. But at the same time, you've got to give yourself a fighting chance. Run it at least once, and then after that, you can throw it a couple times because now, or at least one more time with 8 seconds on the clock, people aren't going to be questioning what you're doing, and it's actually the smart thing to do. The easiest way to get 1 yard is to run the ball right down the damn middle, and that's the bottom line.
Now, Robert, if they win, they're 2-4, okay, so they stop the bleeding, right? And I don't believe they're a playoff team, but they stop the bleeding, and now you can kind of take a deep breath. But if they lose Thursday and they're 1-5 and they lose to a bad team, because the Bears are bad, we've kind of been speculating on if Dan would ever make a move on Ron. I would be surprised just based on his history. You know Dan. He doesn't like to fire coaches with a couple years left on his deal. He usually waits until that final year. But what if they go 1-6, 1-7, 1-8? I mean, maybe it's out of his control and he's got to make a move if they're if Ron's losing the locker room. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man, I don't know because, listen, when we had this the whole situation in 2013, Dan let Mike burn with the building.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He doesn't like to – it seems he doesn't like to pay coaches not to coach. You know, we saw what just happened with the Carolina Panthers and Matt Rhule. He didn't get 42-some-odd million dollars to not coach the Carolina Panthers. So I think at the end of the day, Ron's got to – rectify this situation in the building. There's nothing he can say now that's going to rectify it outside. But he's got to justify to all of his players, Jonathan Allen, all the guys on defense, Deron Payne, and not just Carson Wentz, but why are you as the coach not fighting with us, but you're fighting against us by making statements like that? I always find it hypocritical when a coach tells you in the meeting, hey, we're going to keep everything in-house, and then they go in the media and they make it out-house. So yeah. I think he deserves to. I think Ron deserves to coach through whatever it is. If they get this turned around, because they have the roster to do it, right? Offense and defense, they have the roster to come back and be a playoff team, even with this 1-4 record. But at the end of the day, Ron deserves to burn with the building if this thing's going to turn into a dumpster fire.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you. I find Ron, this is me personally, I find him to be kind of phony. I think that's kind of his reputation. He's a media-savvy guy, knows who to play nice with. But when you look at his record, 3 winning seasons out of 12, if you count this season, Robert.
Yeah, you know, I said this last week when people were going after Russell Wilson and his character and his mindset and his family. I don't think that criticism outside of football is fair game. So I can't tell you who Ron Rivera is or what he's about. But all I can tell you is what he said. And when it comes to football and throwing your quarterback under the bus and only having 3 winning seasons out of 12, that's fair game to criticize. So
this could be a rallying point for Carson, though, right? Because couldn't the guy say, you know what? Like, it's just us now against the world, and I got Carson's back. Could it work in Carson's favor?
Yeah, I mean, that it could work in Carson's favor. It depends on how those guys in the locker room feel about Carson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys remember. I'm sure you do because this is what you guys live and breathe every day. But in 2012, we started 3-6.
Yeah.
And went on a 7-game winning streak. And part of the reason we went on that 7-game winning streak is because right before our bye week, Mike went up in the press conference and said, we're playing for next year.
100%. He said he was going to evaluate. We're in evaluation.
We remember it like it was yesterday.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. You know, we were evaluating for next year, and he was on the podium right before I went up, and I was like, yo, what is going on here? And, you know, I kind of made a statement saying that, you know, you're going to see a different team when we get back, and I'm going to work my tail off during the bye week to come back and be better. And the guys really bought in. I think that was a rallying cry for us. We never told anybody. We never told Mike that. Uh-huh. But we kind of felt a little disrespected. So maybe by Ron doing this to his quarterback specifically, maybe the guys rally around him and they see, like, look, Carson's out there battling. He's fighting. He's not perfect. He's had his ups and downs throughout the year. But the man really put it all on the line, and one bad throw shouldn't be the reason he's thrown under the bus. And I know he's had a lot of bad throws this year. Don't get me wrong.
Well,
he hasn't had good ones. Guys, he hasn't had good ones. He's had incredible throws.
Based on how they're playing right now, Robert, do you think they beat Chicago?
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
You don't sound that confident.
He's 51-49.
I'm not that confident because Chicago came back in the second half against the Vikings and looked like an actual really good football team.
Yep.
So that's the question. It's, can Washington finish games? That's what it comes down to. And Carson hasn't shown that he can. But if the defense plays like they did this past week, I think they have a chance. The defense did a much better job. You know, Derrick Henry ran for 100 yards, but he had to earn it, right? It was almost 30 carries. He had to earn those 100 yards. They played better on the back end. If they do that, with Justin Fields, they should win the game.
But here, Fields is going to be able to bounce out and run, unlike Tannehill. That'll be the difference, most likely, in my opinion.
Robert, we know you got to run. Best of luck catching that connecting flight down in Atlanta. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. People in the airport think I'm crazy because I'm screaming at Ron Rivera.
It's all good. It's all good, man. All right, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
That's Robert Griffin III on the BetQL guest hotline. When we come back, we're going to dissect the final play in the loss to the Titans. We're going to have Jason Brown. We're going to dive into some audio of him, the coach from Last Chance U. He has some choice words to say about Scott Turner's play calling, so we'll get into that next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.